Welcome, Friendship fam. We are with you today in Friendship Church Studio B. I'm here with Pastor Matt Clausen. You know, we're in the middle of our Jesus Said What series. Join us today as we explore bonus content and how it impacts our discipleship and lifestyle of worship. Thank you for joining in. I'm Joel Farber, in for Kenny White. Grab some coffee and buckle up for this week's episode of your Friendship Church podcast. Parents of students, weekend 315 is coming up, the weekend of May 21st. Weekend 315 is a unique weekend opportunity for students in grades 8 through 12. This is an in-town retreat where we will spend time in God's Word, hanging out as a D group, serving our local community, and enjoying fun activities. At Weekend 315, we will fulfill the Friendship Church mission statement to love, live, and serve like Jesus. Learn more and register at friendshipmn.org/315. Well, hey, church fam. Good to see you. And, you know, my voice definitely isn't the sultry, smooth voice of Pastor Kenny White. I think everyone would agree. You might be missing Kenny right now.
We are missing his sultry, smooth voice.
We are.
Pastor Barry White. I mean, Kenny White's voice is a thing of beauty.
So we miss his voice, but do we really miss Kenny?
Well, I gotta say, the podcast is really Kenny's baby, right?
Right.
And Kenny has left this week and essentially dumped his baby at the door of the church.
Yep.
Ready for whoever comes by to take care of it.
Right. And who picked it up?
And we are the ones who picked it up.
Where?
Yes.
Where? Daddy.
Thanks, Kenny.
Thanks, Kenny.
We'll take care of your baby.
We got a lot of sugar over here. You never know how you're going to get them back.
Oh, boy.
Oh, man.
Indeed.
We might even start our own podcast and kick Kenny out.
Oh.
Do you think we could do that?
A pirate podcast?
Pirate podcast.
Mm.
Yep, on the Friendship. that would be crazy. Well, speaking of which, I want to get right into our first segment called This World is Crazy. But God is good. So, Matt, the other day I was looking online at stuff, and I stumbled across a lot of cool things that are happening in Japan. I've never been to Japan. I don't have a first account witness of these things, but they're pretty cool. I would even deem them crazy, and the rest of the world, including the United States, doesn't have it. Let me tell you about some of them. There's a staircase in Tokyo that tells pedestrians how many calories they burn with each and every step.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Yikes. A lot of stairs are needed in order to make sure you stay below the emergency weight.
Emergency weight, yes. Go back.
You know how many people I've had comment on the emergency weight, dude? That's it's like the most meaningful thing, apparently, I've ever said on the podcast. People are like, ooh, emergency weight. People are now holding me accountable about the emergency weight.
Nice.
That I will is never speak nice about plan. These things again.
I would like to get those the staircase calorie count on the stairs going to my office, please. Okay, so, you know, we have cell phones that tell us the weather outside. Mm-hmm. There are some elevators in Tokyo or in Japan that have rain meters. So as you're going up and down the elevator, it tells you if it's raining outside.
What?
What?
Why?
I don't know. It's crazy, isn't it?
In case you got into the elevator and it wasn't raining, but by the time you reach the ground floor, it is. You want to be prepared and grab an umbrella? What?
Maybe it's an outside facing elevator. I don't know. It's okay. Pretty crazy.
Yeah.
Okay. Being a dad with young kids, and you were once a dad with young kids,
long time ago.
You might want this. There are restrooms in Japan that have a kiddie seat to put your child in while you use the restroom. It's like, you go to a park, you see those little baby swings, but it's permanently affixed to the wall. So you just drop your baby in there. And then you go to the bathroom. You don't have to worry about them sitting on a nasty floor or getting into toilet paper. They're affixed to the wall. Pretty
interesting.
Cool.
Interesting.
Yeah, I might install one of those into my next house.
Yeah, you are.
So some cabs, taxi cabs, have turtle taxi buttons.
I'm sorry, what is that?
It means if the driver is driving too fast, you can tell them to slow down by pushing a button.
Oh.
What?
Slow down.
Right.
I would like to pay you more money.
In New York, I'm sure it's like a rabbit button or
right.
What's faster than a rabbit? Cheetah?
Cheetah button.
Oh, man. All right. One of my personal favorites. In Japan, they have a lot more people per square mile.
Yes.
And, you know, they're just a little island off, you know, Asia.
Thank you. Thank you, Joel. Right. I feel like I understand far more about Japan now.
Well, in case you didn't know.
Okay. Thanks.
They have more people per square mile. So I'm sure they have regular hotels, but they invented these like wall hotels. So you don't rent a room, you rent like a hole in the wall. It's basically like
what?
A little, you know, 3x3 by like super long rectangle. You open the door, you climb in, you lay down, and you can turn off your own little light. And it's just in a bigger room. So you can rent like a micro room.
Like in a morgue? Is that what we're talking about?
It's like kind of morgue-ish.
You pull your slab out and lay down on it. And
yeah, you just climb
back in.
Yeah, put your blankie on.
A little creepy.
Kind of creepy.
A little creepy.
Kind of cool. Pretty efficient use of space, I would say.
Oh, boy.
Oh, man. Well, crazy. Matt, you're a world traveler, right?
Sure.
What's the craziest thing you've experienced when traveling around the world?
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
I had a crazy personal experience when I was 16 years old and traveling with my parents. We went to Europe and we visited multiple missionaries in Europe over the course of 3 weeks. And during that time, we went to Poland, what was then Czechoslovakia, and then through to Poland.
Mm-hmm.
And my dad was a part of teaching at a pastor's conference in Poland. We messed up our paperwork and we're unable to leave by the same route that we came in.
What?
And so the missionary who brought us in was staying. So he sent our family off on our own. And we traveled through what was then East Germany. This is before your time, Joel. There used to be an East Germany and a West
and a
Germany.
West, yes. Divided by a wall?
Indeed. And so this was before the Berlin Wall came down. We traveled through East Germany. And when we arrived at the border of East Germany and West Germany, they pulled me out of the car and put me in my own separate room in order to be interrogated.
What?
For 3 hours while they went through the car with a fine-tooth comb, asked my parents all kinds of questions. Apparently, it was popular at that time for young men about that age to be smuggled out with Western families.
Whoa.
And so they pulled me aside because I was in that demographic of young men who often got smuggled out with Western families. And so all of these East German soldiers in their full uniforms with their automatic weapons brought me into a room by myself.
Right.
And I sat there by myself waiting to be released while they tore our little, what were we driving around? I think it was a Volkswagen Golf.
Yeah.
That we were driving around.
That's very Germany.
And so they took that car apart, looking for what we might really be doing.
Right.
And interrogated my parents and then finally let us go on our way. And there was a tremendous sense of relief.
Man.
When they let us get moving.
Was there a feature about you that they really admired and why they thought someone would be smuggling you?
Yeah. I'm sure that was it.
Your smile?
Yeah. Yeah.
Man, that's crazy.
Yeah, it was an interesting experience, wasn't it?
I went to Poland in high school as part of a band trip.
Mm.
And we were playing in this cathedral and all of the band looks up on the side wall and there's these paintings of all these bishops. And lo and behold, there's like a 1750s version of Joel Farber bishop looked just like me. I got to find a picture of that. It was crazy. And they couldn't stop looking at it. They're like, Joel, that's you. Yeah. That
Another was time I led a missions team of 30 people to this really, really remote village of indigenous people in Panama, in the mountains of Panama.
Mm.
And as we were there, we are eating all of our meals prepared by the women in the village. And on our last day there, they prepared some chicken for us that we ate at lunch and then used the same chicken for what we ate for dinner.
Yeah.
And the next day, as we were all flying home, I would say 25 of the 30 people on the team got violently ill as we were in the traveling process on our way home.
Yeah.
And so between our flight from Panama City to Miami, it's just the sound of vomiting everywhere on the plane.
That's disgusting.
The poor people on the plane who are trapped with this missions group coming back. It is just, there's just one person throwing up after another all over the plane. Oh, it was an awful experience.
That is disgusting.
We had this one poor woman who broke her arm while we were down there.
Oh, no.
And so she's in a cast throwing up. She threw up 7 times. On the way home between Panama City and Miami, like all over herself. We got there and her husband said, we're not flying from Miami to Minneapolis. I'm getting a hotel room. My wife and I are just going to chill for a couple of days. Man. We'll come home when she's ready, because I had never seen someone like have that kind of travel experience.
Yeah.
Broken arm, set in kind of a remote hospital. Now I'm sick and throwing up all over myself. And oh, it was not a great advertisement for our next trip.
Right. I think I hear often of a lot of sickness on mission trips. And I don't know, is there something bigger there potentially sometimes where, you know, it could be things at work, or is it just the fact that we're not used to living in these countries?
Right. Well, in this situation, you're part of a village cooking system where there's no refrigerators or freezers whatsoever.
Yep.
And yeah, I think that's part of it.
Man.
Differences in what's in the water probably are part of it sometimes. And those kinds of things. Yeah.
Yeah.
There's
definitely something different in the water that I drink too, compared to most people.
I don't think there's any question. That's probably why you're so big and muscly.
Yeah. Oh man. Well, you know, that's all just so crazy. But at the end of the day, like we always like to say, God is good. Okay, so keeping with the concept of crazy, we've been in the middle of this series called Jesus Said,
What?
Hey, we matched pitch.
Nice.
Let's do it again and harmonize.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, man. Well, anyway, there's a lot of things Jesus certainly said in the Bible. If you have a red letter version of the Bible, you can see that visually, right? That's pretty cool. Well, today I want to take a deeper dive into crazy things that Jesus said, because we made this a 5-week sermon and Jesus certainly said more than 5 crazy things, or at least that the people in that day would find crazy, or even us today.
Right.
We might find it crazy. Like, hate your family? What?
Yes.
What does that mean? Well, we've been learning about that.
Right.
What else did Jesus say that you think might be kind of crazy?
Yeah. So, you know, I guess when we use the term crazy, first of all, we want to clarify that it seems crazy to us, that Jesus wasn't crazy in what he was saying. But it's challenging for us to understand, sometimes because of cultural differences, sometimes because of the level of challenge that he's putting before people that we're just not used to in our culture. And as we were coming up with the 5 passages that were going to be a part of this sermon series, there were certainly a couple of other passages that were in the running that didn't make the cut. One of those is in Matthew chapter 10, where Jesus says, there is something we can do from which we cannot be forgiven.
Hmm.
And I think that's very different than the way most of us grow up. We grow up understanding that there is no sin that Jesus cannot forgive.
Mm-hmm.
And so when Jesus says in Matthew chapter 12, did I just say Matthew 10? I think I did, because I preached on that last week.
Yeah.
When Jesus says in Matthew chapter 12 that there is something that can't be forgiven, it strikes our ears as crazy, right? Like, what?
Right.
No. My mom taught me.
Right.
Jesus could forgive anything.
Oh, no. Did I do that? Did I? Oh,
yeah.
What?
So in Matthew chapter 12, Jesus says, whoever is not with me is against me. And whoever does not gather with me scatters. Therefore, I tell you, every sin and blasphemy will be forgiven people. Well, that sounds pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
That sounds like what I was taught.
Right.
Every sin and blasphemy will be forgiven people, but the blasphemy against the Spirit will not be forgiven.
Mm.
And whoever speaks a word against the Son of Man will be forgiven. But whoever speaks against the Holy Spirit will not be forgiven, either in this age or in the age to come. So Jesus seems to indicate here that there is something that we can do that cannot be forgiven. And it's not just temporarily we can't be forgiven. He says, no, in the age to come, people will not be forgiven. They will receive God's punishment instead of God's blessing.
Yeah.
And he defines that as blasphemy against the Spirit. I think I have dealt with a number of people who have said, well, you know, I've said some bad things. Mm-hmm. Have I committed blasphemy against the Spirit?
Right.
How do you know when you've committed blasphemy against the Holy Spirit?
Right.
Yes. So, Joel, that is where we look to you.
Oh, man.
Your explanation. All right. So, okay, let's start. What is blasphemy? Blasphemy is to call something that is holy unholy or dirty, right? So when there's an accusation about blaspheming the temple or blaspheming the law of Moses, essentially what they're saying is you're taking something holy, the temple, and you are making it unholy by what you're doing, right? Paul's accused of blaspheming the temple by letting a Gentile into it. Mm. You know, you're creating something unholy out of what is actually holy.
Right.
When Jesus was accused of blasphemy, they're saying God, who is ultimately holy, is being demeaned or called or made dirty by the fact that you, Jesus, are claiming to be one with him.
Right.
And so blasphemy is taking something that is holy and treating as if it is unholy.
Mm-hmm.
So then how do we do that with the Spirit? What is the Spirit's role in our lives? The Spirit's role in our lives, according to John 14-16, is to convict us of sin. It is the Spirit of God that opens our eyes and our hearts so that we are able to see our sinfulness. He convicts the world of sin and the need to repent and turn to Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
So when a person treats the work of the Spirit, convicting us of sin and turning us to God, which is holy, as unholy, they are rejecting the work of the Spirit in their life. They're rejecting the conviction that comes from the Spirit and the movement of the Spirit in their life, which is meant to turn them to Jesus. And essentially, I think what Jesus is saying in Matthew chapter 12 isn't that someone speaks a one-time phrase against the Holy Spirit. It is that when they blaspheme the Holy Spirit, they are rejecting his work in their life.
Hmm.
And it's only through the work of the Holy Spirit that we can be saved. It's only through his conviction of sin. It's only through his softening our hard hearts. And so when we reject that work, when we blaspheme it and call the holy work of the Holy Spirit unholy, we cannot be saved.
Right.
And so I don't think the blasphemy of the Holy Spirit is a one-time utterance by a person, but instead a rejection of who the Spirit is and his work.
Right.
And Jesus even says here, you can reject him and still be forgiven, which we see in the book of Acts. We see in Acts 3, 4, 5, we see people who rejected Jesus while he was here, even chanted, crucify him, crucify him, then come to faith and repent and turn to him and be saved. And so we see exactly what Jesus is saying here, that you can speak a word against the Son of Man, that you can blaspheme against Jesus and still be forgiven. Well, that happened. People did reject Jesus, reject his work, and then later on, turn to him and repent and receive salvation. But you cannot blaspheme the work of the Spirit when he comes to you and seeks to convict you of sin and to open your blind eyes. If you reject that work of the Spirit, you can't be saved because you can't be saved apart from that work.
Right. That makes total sense.
So that's my understanding of blasphemy of the Holy Spirit and also why some people are like, well, I told God to take a hike, therefore I can never be saved. Well, I don't think that's really what blasphemy of the Spirit is. Blasphemy of the Spirit is when you tell the Spirit of God to take a hike forever in your life.
And you keep doing that.
You keep doing that and you reject his convicting work throughout your life. No, then you're not saved.
Right. It kind of just makes sense. It's hand in hand.
Right. So that's one of the passages that we didn't get a chance to deal with in this series because we chose to do five.
Yeah. Well, you know, there's 52 weeks in a year. Unless it's leap year, then there's 52 weeks in a year. That was a trick statement.
That was a trick statement. You're a very tricky man.
I am.
Yes.
You know, I think another confusing piece to that passage in general, I think people can kind of wrap their head around God. They can wrap their head around Jesus. But as soon as you start talking about Holy Spirit kind of stuff, or even beyond that, the Trinity, like, it's just like, welcome to Confusion Town or Confusion City, to stick with alliteration, right? At least that's what I find. I don't know.
Confusion City, huh?
Confusion City. Mm. Yeah. Well, that's a good one.
It's possible that it is, that it's more confusing. Yes.
Well, I want to share the thing I'm most sad about, is that when this series is over this coming Sunday, we no longer get to stand and say, Jesus said, what? Right?
That's right.
So that'll be sad.
It will be sad.
But the next series will be fun.
Maybe we will be able to recall the name of the series.
Right.
Right. We'll say something like, so our previous series was called, but now our new series is.
Yes.
Right. We'll have to work it in.
So on May 9th, we can do it one more time for sure.
That's right.
Unless we're quoting you or Kenny, then we can continue to. Okay. I like that.
Indeed.
I like it. Well, you know, I do want to say this, Kenny, if you're listening, we miss you and we hope to see you soon. This was a lot easier than I thought it would be without Kenny.
Right.
We could maybe
a
do
lot,
this.
A lot easier, wasn't it? Interesting.
Yeah. Hmm. So, you know, I just want to direct the audience to Friendship Church Podcast 2. Starting next week, Matt and I will go live. April Fools. Got to be clear there. It's still April. Well, church.
Kenny's going to be Wally Pipped. Do you know who Wally Pip is?
Wally World? Walmart?
So Wally Pipp was the starting first baseman for the New York Yankees 100 years ago.
Yep.
And at one point, he got hurt and he missed a game. And a guy named Lou Gehrig, one of the greatest players of all time, substituted in for him. And then Lou Gehrig never missed a game the rest of his career. And Wally Pipp lost his job.
No way.
So maybe Kenny's getting Wally Pipped here.
See you later, Pippi Longstocking. Oh, man. Well, church, it is certainly our privilege to produce these podcasts for you every week. We hope you find them encouraging. And as you go from here, want to encourage you to remember to love, live, and serve like Jesus. Thanks for tuning in.
Come back, Kenny. Come back.
We'll see you next time on your Friendship Church Podcast.